Think about the last time you felt truly alive. Chances are you weren't carefully balancing your time between work, family, hobbies, and self-care. You were probably completely absorbed in something, so consumed that hours felt like minutes. That's passion at work. But here's what nobody tells you. The same force that creates our most transcendent moments can also destroy us. Passion sits at a crossroads between fulfillment and obsession. It can liberate or imprison, elevate or devastate. Consider Elizabeth Holmes, the Stanford dropout whose passion for revolutionizing healthcare through Theranos seemed inspiring until her $9 billion company collapsed amid massive fraud charges. Or Jeffrey Skilling, Enron's CEO, who valued passion above all else, creating a culture so obsessively performance-driven, it led to corporate fraud. These weren't villains from the start. They were brilliant, driven individuals whose passion gradually twisted into something toxic. The word passion itself reveals this duality. For nearly a millennium, it meant suffering, specifically Christ's crucifixion torture. To wish passion upon someone would have been cruel, not inspirational. Only in the 1970s did follow your passion become motivational gospel. Yet passion and suffering remain intertwined, because anything we love enough can hurt us. The question isn't whether to be passionate, it's how to harness passion without being consumed by it. Some people seem born to push boundaries. Ann Trayson broke 20 world records in ultra running and won the Western States 100-mile race 14 times. Even at her peak, she felt compelled to push, push, push. Her secret? Dopamine insensitivity, a genetic trait making some brains require more stimulation to feel satisfaction. Research suggests up to 40% of our personality is inherited, with persistence directly linked to this neurochemical quirk. Every challenging pursuit triggers dopamine release, but like any drug, you build tolerance. Each victory requires a bigger achievement for the same high. The line between productive passion and destructive addiction is razor thin because both hijack the same dopamine-driven circuitry. But biology isn't destiny. While Trayson was born with her drive, endurance athlete Rich Roll developed his from psychological wounds. Growing up feeling inadequate and bullied, Roll discovered swimming in middle school, his chance to prove himself. His childhood insecurities fueled a passion that led him to complete 5 Ironman triathlons in 7 days. Elite athletes often come from homes with more siblings or divorced parents. Passion creates dopamine dependence while providing escape from inner struggles, which explains why retired athletes struggle with substance abuse when the passion ends and the void remains. We've been sold a lie about passion. Like seeking a soulmate, 78% of people hold a fit mindset, expecting their passion to reveal itself like a lightning bolt. This backfires spectacularly. Those seeking perfect passion abandon pursuits at the first sign of difficulty and expect their interests to inevitably fade. The alternative? Lower the bar from perfect to interesting. Director James Cameron made Titanic primarily to dive the wreck. Philosophy PhD student Marissa Newman followed her philosophical interests through various careers before returning to academia. Both demonstrate how following curiosity rather than seeking perfection leads to fulfilling passions. The real enemy is "I couldn't possibly do this" syndrome, dismissing interests that don't align with our established identity. This syndrome strengthens with age, preventing exploration. Enduring passion doesn't come from finding the perfect fit. It comes from satisfying 3 fundamental needs: competency, seeing tangible progress, autonomy, acting in harmony with your true self, and relatedness, feeling connected to something larger. When activities fulfill these needs, they generate feelings of aliveness and self-actualization, signals of blossoming passion. Obsessive passion creates fragile self-worth by tying identity to external results. When self-worth depends on outcomes, setbacks feel like personal attacks, explaining why figures like Skilling and Holmes went to extremes to protect not just their companies, but their very identities. As Eric Fromm wrote, "If I am what I have, and if what I have is lost, then who am I?" Even successful people with obsessive passion struggle to enjoy achievements, constantly craving more, a phenomenon Buddha termed suffering and psychologists call hedonic adaptation. Baseball players Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez used performance-enhancing drugs despite their success, illustrating how fear-driven passion becomes unsustainable. Fear-based thinking activates survival mode, evaluating everything as a threat and eventually transforming into anxiety and burnout. By shedding fear, we shift from a prevention mindset, playing not to lose, to a promotion mindset, playing to win. As psychologist Stan Beecham states, when fear dies, you begin to live. Harmonious passion means engaging in something for joy, not as a means to an end, aligning with the Greek concept of eudaimonia, happiness from striving toward your potential. The paradox? External achievement often becomes a natural byproduct, though never the primary goal. The mastery mindset values continual improvement over transient successes or failures. Olympic swimmer Katie Ledecky exemplifies this. After winning 5 gold medals in Rio, she turned down millions in sponsorships to swim collegiately at Stanford, prioritizing development over fame. Process focus matters more than outcomes. When runner Brenda Martinez was tripped during her strongest event at Olympic trials, she immediately refocused on her secondary event, qualifying by 3/100ths of a second. This approach creates daily little victories. Accomplishing micro objectives releases dopamine, sustaining motivation. Embracing failure is essential. Research shows super champions view challenges as growth opportunities, while almost champions blame external factors. The path requires commitment through inevitable boredom. As Aikido master George Leonard observed, to learn anything significant, you must be willing to spend most of your time on the plateau. Have you ever met a deeply passionate person who is balanced? Our most alive moments come when we're completely consumed by an activity, not carefully balancing our lives. Coach Gerald Stewart transformed a mediocre high school running team into a national powerhouse with one philosophy: you can only be great at 2 things at a time. Warren Buffett, despite his $75 billion fortune, lives modestly in Omaha, completely absorbed by investing. His children describe his perpetual mental absence: you must speak in short, quick chunks before losing him to thought. Yet going all in doesn't mean working constantly. That's burnout, not success. The formula is simple: stress plus rest equals growth. Harvard research shows mental growth happens during rest, not work. Stephen King writes, "For me, not working is the real work." Rather than pursuing balance, develop self-awareness, the ability to see yourself clearly by assessing your core values, emotions, passions, and impact on others. This lets you distinguish between immediate euphoria and long-term consequences, knowing when to push forward and when to pull back. Triathlete Siri Lindley won 13 World Cup races through singular focus, then walked away at her peak. "I no longer needed to seek my self-worth in the sport," she explained. Adventure racer Rebecca Rush maintains self-awareness by pretending she's giving advice to a friend, creating space between thoughts and feelings. Transitioning from a passion challenges us deeply. When we adopt the mastery mindset, passions shift from verbs to nouns, from writing to being a writer. How do we move forward without losing ourselves? Chris Lukasik offers insight. Despite placing 7th at the World Indoor Track Championships, he retired at 26, shocking the running community. He wasn't burnt out, he was following diverse interests. Joining Airbnb as employee number 6, he redirected his athletic drive into a new passion. Our personal narratives shape how we navigate transitions. Those with hyperthymesia, photographic autobiographical memory, reveal what happens when we can't edit our stories. Unable to selectively process painful memories, they remain trapped in unedited reality. When transitioning from a passion, 4 practices guide you. Craft your internal narrative carefully, embrace how your passion shaped you without letting it define you entirely, create time for reflection rather than filling the void quickly, and recognize that while activities change, the deep traits fueling your passion remain. Passion is double-edged. elevating us to extraordinary heights or dragging us into obsessive depths. The difference lies in how we wield it.